This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
9:37 in the morning, it is Wednesday, and therefore that makes it the S&M show. And we're in the studio, we have right now, apart from the whip, Mr. Salvatore Dali. And we're going to be, in a few minutes, talking about bubbles and pricks, or pricks and bubbles. Not sure
sounds
which,
like
which
a cafe.
Order.
It
sounds
doesn't
like
matter which one comes first.
Yes, because they follow each other in quick unison. But before we get to that point, not the likes column. And we're going to be talking about SPACs. Not spank, but SPACs.
Well, apparently the SE is going to come out with the new guidelines on SPACs sometime later today. So we're trying to preempt it and predict what is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Apparently, one of the new rulings would be that the moratorium on shares for those promoters, which was only on their shares, will now be probably extended to warrants as well.
What, how long is the moratorium?
Well, it will be until the qualifying asset has been approved by the shareholders.
So it can take years if they have.
Well,
they're taking some time to look for the.
I think there's a time limit within 2 years or 3 years. I'm not sure. So that is probably going to be one of the newer guidelines. Actually, the guidelines are more in terms of tightening the some of the rules. The second one that we heard about is that apparently there will be a new guideline on how much of the fund's money they can use to pay for salaries for management and also head office expenses. Apparently the figure is going to be like less than 10% so as to safeguard the year.
That is brilliant. I think that's a brilliant new rule.
Yes.
Because,
yes.
You know, the compensation of the managers and other people involved should be from gains in share prices.
Yes, I totally agree with that.
Own, yeah.
The in fact, they could actually extend some of these guidelines to maybe include like maybe extend the moratorium to after profit has been generated. But that is a bit debilitating, to be fair, to the promoters.
Right.
But so I don't think that would be incorporated. Although I heard that one of the specs that was rejected, they did suggest that as part of the, business model.
Okay, think of it this way, right? I always see specs and other forms of investments of company with a lot of cash as a kind of collective investment vehicle, right? Because you have unit trusts and they collect your money and then they invest based on their, you know, we like to believe their expertise, right? And now SPACs are another set of this such collective, effectively is a collective investment vehicle. And now SE has given them we don't know the actual guidelines yet, but if the speculation is right, SE is giving them 10%. Now this compares to around 2% management fee that is the current market level for funds that are being managed. So 10% is actually 10% for
it's
salaries.
Still very generous.
Is very generous for these.
No,
such funds.
You've raised a very good point here, Jules, because it's been La La Land, right, until now. Because I mean, and I remember the first few specs. I'm not going to say who they were, right, but the first few specs that came out to the market, the promoters got their stock at 1 cent a share, came out to the market at 75 cent a share, didn't have to declare any QA for at least 1 or 2 years until one turned up, and you know they were paid good salaries, you know, $300,000
yes.
a year. Not bad.
Actually, I mean, I was not consulted. Not that I'm anybody to be consulted by the
SEC.
It's
a travesty of it all, Dali.
Investors are wondering, you know, hey, how come, you know, there's a plethora of applications for SPACs? You know, is it really that lucrative? It is very lucrative for the promoters.
For the promoters?
Because we're talking about 1 cent. You know, I would say, because you're talking about you getting it 1 cent, the general public is paying like 60 to 75 cents for the same share, right? Even though with the moratorium, you know, put in.
I've got an idea. Why don't you and I and Jules get together? We'll go ahead and collect a whole bunch of cash from individuals and then buy a bunch of specs. What about that?
Yeah.
A spec of a spec. Isn't that great?
It's like fund of funds, right?
Back to that. I mean, if you want to really quell genuine spec promoters from just speculative ones, why don't you raise the minimum, instead of 1 cent, make it 10 cents or 20 cents. It is still a big discount
a big
to what the public is going to pay, but it's going to force the promoters to put in a lot more of their skin on the table instead of like, hey, it's no skin off my back. Even if this thing fails, gee, I just put in 1 cent, you know.
Yeah,
well,
you know,
yeah, that also raises the issue of whether you want this market to be a regulatory based or disclosure based, right? How far is SC going to go in terms of really spoon feeding investors? Because I think that can be something that goes too far as well. If you really go too far in protecting
10 cents versus 75, is that too far?
No. I'm just saying.
In spirit, I think the SC is trying to do a whole, you know, introduce a system where everybody's a bit voluntary.
Exactly.
They don't have to be too overbearing.
But I'm saying that even 10 cents, you're talking about still getting it, you know, 1 to 7 times, you know, leverage compared to now it's 1 to 70 times leverage.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's from like a humongous figure to even a supernormal figure.
So I guess that's why the pipeline is kind of like diminished.
You're going to see the pipeline die down if you put it at 20 cents a share for promoters.
Yeah, but you know, the real genuine guys might still be saying, hey, that's still a great X to have, right?
Yes.
When you come in at 20 cents, you sell it at
But if you come
cents.
In at 20 cents, you're going to make, I was going to use another word, doubly sure. Although it rhymes with doubly. You're going to make doubly sure that, you know, it's going to be worth your time, energy, and your team's effort.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, let's just assemble a team of cowboys. Hmm. Not to say that any of them are cowboys.
That was a foreign enslaved right there, Ali. But, you know, just in terms of around the world, North America were the first out of the gate in terms of specs. And some figures from the analysts, well, some of the research has showed that in the last 10 years, not many have actually posted an actual acquisition. And those that have posted negative annual returns of 18.6% on average. And in South Korea, there was a spurt of listings in 2010. But then prices crashed, companies delisted, and since then, no specs at all in South Korea. So can Malaysia do it any better?
Well, I think the good thing about SC is that they've really, really tightened the screws and is actually very, very much, much tougher for Malaysian specs to get listed.
Okay, gentlemen, hate to interrupt you mid-floor, but I'm going to get your views on pricks and bubbles in a couple of minutes. But for now, a quick message from the sponsors, BFM 89.9.
Honey, I have good news. The CIMB Bank cashback is here again. For 500 ringgit spent in a week, we stand to get 100 ringgit cashback. And if we spend 1,500 ringgit in a week, we stand to get 350 ringgit cashback. All this by using my CIMB Bank credit or debit card.
Really? What can we spend on?
We can spend on dining, groceries, fashion, and at departmental stores from now till 2nd February 2014.
Great! Let's start this evening. I'll pick you up after work. But wait, how do we participate?
Just register via SMS. Visit www.cimbbank.com.my to find out how. Terms and conditions apply.
CIMB Bank Cashback, here we come!
Good morning, it's the 6th of
Good morning, it's BFM Headlines again.
And this morning we start with the Sun.
We know you don't have time to flip through the headlines, so we're doing it for you. Online, that is. The funny, the salacious, the serious, the controversial. So let us be your aggregator on your computer, your phone, or even your tablet. BFM Morning Headlines, every weekday at video.bfm.my.
What we do know is TNA's good side.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
9:46 in the morning. It is Wednesday. It is Salvatore Dali and the S&M show. Ow. But we're going to be talking about pricks.
And bubbles.
And bubbles.
You can't say it in isolation, mate.
Pricks, common bubbles. Before we get to that point, though, everybody's clamoring to know what your stock pick is because since you made a call in Baraka, it, for some magical reason, it did go up.
Magical, yes.
Magical wizardry occurred. So what's the...
yeah, I've been getting a lot of... Hey, where's the follow-up to Baraka?
Okay.
I mean, look, first of all, I have to say, we are not trying to perpetuate any kind of like rumors or speculation.
Okay, so this is in no way, shape or form a call to
Well, I think I need to explain
stocks.
Like how do I arrive at selecting the stocks to
You just
to look
use
at.
a crystal ball. And you prick.
I've created a little system in my little outfit where we have a group of subscribers. It's called Murasaki, whereby it's an early alert system. And what I do is that it helps me double verify the information or the news flow that I hear or the rumors that I hear from the pipeline. Because a lot of the rumors are basically just reasons to move stocks, you know.
What are your returns?
They're not genuine enough.
What are your returns so far from this system?
You can go to my, you know, that site to go and check, because there's a verification of the so-called highlighted stocks and recommendations and their performance.
Okay.
So it's not fair for me to, you know, plug it here.
Right.
So, but I'm not going to say too much about, you know, sometimes when we talk about like stocks to follow and so on, you have to attach it to some kind of like rumors. But that is like basically, you know, perpetuating the rumors, rumor mill.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of saying anything like Baraka, I can just say that, well, the system would have highlighted. I wish the show was yesterday, because I was going to tell you to look at stocks like Ulicorp, which is moving like a rocket today. And that was like double confirmed by the system yesterday. The other stock to have a look at, do your own research and see whether it's worth looking at, is Mitrajaya. So, of course, all my stocks that I ask you to look at are short-term in nature.
Very risky.
So that could be not only is it very risky in the Julian
these are not recommendations, but you know, if I'm forced to say, okay, have a look at these two stocks, right?
Caveat emptor.
Because there's the Oxford Dictionary, there's the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and there's
and I'm
the
not
Julian Ng
put in
dictionary.
Any stories behind it, because the stories are just needless, you know, until the news
yeah,
comes
so
out.
There's yeah. no fun. Yeah, so anyway, it is speculative and therefore very risky. So caveat emptor.
Well, at least tell us what Mitrajaya does and give us some kind of background.
Do your own research, sir.
That's why it's called the S&M show. Ouch.
Okay.
Okay, so finally we get to the pièce de résistance.
Bubbles and pricks. Now, I did a post.
Are you talking about people or situations?
Situations. about whether there are bubbles. There are. I mean, do you all agree that
there are bubbles everywhere?
But especially so with the length of time that QE has been in perpetuating in the whole entire economy. Where are the bubbles? From my posting, I mean, you could look at like whether it's in developed markets equities or emerging market equities and so on and so forth, or REITs or bonds or commodities and so on and so forth, or even certain currencies.
Right. Okay, so I've got your posting open here, but in fact, it goes beyond global real estate. There's the dot-com bubble, universities in North America, social media, there's a bubble as well, Canadian housing, Malaysian housing, stock markets everywhere around the world. So according to your chart here, Dubai at 29% up on the year in real estate prices, is the time to get out?
It doesn't mean that there's a bubble there. What I'm trying to say, that is...
What is a bubble nowadays in today's definition? Because... These kinds of jumps are no longer isolated, are they?
A bubble is actually a very special word, because you only know it's a bubble after burst, right? The bubble
it's just
is
like
pricked,
a balloon, you know. You cannot say it's ready to be pricked any time, but then you can still continue to blow until it bursts.
Well, so the Federal Reserve has got $4 trillion of bonds in its balance sheet right now, and is it going to get even bigger? Probably.
But the thing is that if you look at where the so-called bubbles are, I don't think that the developed markets equities are published yet. I'm talking about like the Dow Jones and the European stock markets, the developed markets. They still have a lot of legs to me. Seriously, I still think that at least another 12 months before, you know, anything happens on the...
Is it because of the monetary easing programs, not just by the Federal Reserve?
The fear of QE tapering is one thing, but which is more than counterbalanced by the amount of liquidity that is in the sidelines.
What makes you think that people are actually going to deploy their savings when economies are slowing down?
Because when the interest rate starts moving up gradually, you're going to have to seek higher returns. For sure.
But if interest rates are going up, then you would want to leave your money in money market instruments and not to borrow, because interest rates are, you know, your borrowing costs are going up.
True.
Isn't it a bit counter?
It's a bit counter, because I think if you look at bond markets, the bond markets is so overvalued because of the excessive risk averse strategy, you know, by so many investors.
Well, but the big chunk of bond investors have to invest in bonds. They can't go elsewhere. Yeah. So, that would continue to be supported by those people. Whereas for equities, again, you know, equities also has a chunk of people that has to invest in equities no matter what, right?
Mm.
So the point is here, where are these funds going to go? should they you know, deflate out of the bubble, they have to go somewhere, right?
Actually, I have no idea what where and what this money are going to do, but I do know that there's a lot of liquidity that's still in the stocks.
What do valuations tell us? I think a lot of analysis have come out to the effect that the US is actually not overvalued, but not in isolation compared to history, right? The US is kind of like mid-valuation right now compared to the highest kind of valuation, and then the bottom valuation. They're right in the middle right now. So a lot of people saying that as a result of that, the market is not overvalued. But we don't know whether that means there is a bubble or not.
Yep. Fair enough. I mean, they are almost every single asset class that you look at are a bit bubblish, but it's more difficult to look at where the pricks.
Okay, so that I think that would take the whole argument a bit forward, right? Because you would want to know ahead of the prick when to take your money off the table, right?
You gotta go to Sri Hatamas. It's an embarrassing.
You know? Okay, no, I mean, seriously,
if
right?
You look at
before
like,
the whole thing crashes,
how does a bubble get pricked? All right. If you look
tell
at
us.
Past history,
it's selling, right? Frenzied selling.
Frenzied selling, but frenzy it has to be triggered.
By a certain catalyst.
It has to be triggered. There must be a catalyst. usually, it might be started by the collapse of a relatively large company that is related to a certain industry.
Okay, like a Lehman, for example.
Yes.
Or the collapse of a housing market, for example, in China, for example.
Or you remember Enron, you know.
Or Enron.
Yeah. So, so that's one. The second one is that we're talking about, in this case, housing, a certain unabated, an exceptional rise in NPLs.
In NPLs?
If you look at China, it's already rising for the past few quarters and so on and so forth. People seem to have a way of it's just an anomaly or whatever. But you need maybe suddenly to be triggered, this is getting too far. Or it's the fourth or fifth quarter that NPL is rising, unabated. In certain key economies, I guess, that could trigger it. The one thing is that while we're looking for bubbles, the last 2 years we've actually seen bubbles bursting already in a sort of like enclosed zone. I'm talking about the Indian rupee, the Indonesian rupiah.
Yeah,
and
okay,
their markets.
Those are mini pricks, right?
Yes.
Just going back to the China housing bubble issue, you know that China, since their third plenum, and in fact, the couple of years prior to that, they've been trying to address corruption. And, just this news overnight from Business Insider that the former security chief of China, Chao Yongkang, he's been placed under house arrest. So that's the same as, that's like Barack Obama putting the former FBI chief behind bars for corruption. And if indeed corruption is, they are that serious about corruption, maybe, and you know how the financial system in China works, you know how opaque the financial system is in China, mm-hmm. And you know how state-owned enterprises are behind much of the construction and property boom in China. Could the trigger for a crash come from China's triggering of its own corruption initiatives itself?
Yep, that could be
the
very prick that you're looking for.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the India and Indonesian incident or bursting of the bubbles. It is hot money flowing out. There's a lot of speculative hot money that can dictate how the tide turns. Some people say, why didn't it happen to, say, Malaysia? We were probably quite vulnerable at the same time over the last 2 years.
Well, we did see our ringgit go from 3 to 3.30.
Yes, yeah. But actually, if nobody has really cited the correlation that Malaysia has signed an agreement, inverted commas, with China's central bank.
Swap agreement.
It's kind of like, it's an agreement that actually kind of like, hey, I'm in this gang now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so we talk about the hot money. The hot money, we say, hey, he's got a big brother. Would the hedgist or the speculative hot money dare to go and whack the yuan? They wouldn't dare.
They wouldn't dare.
Yeah.
So the whole Asia pivot from North America is so now the, a bit
you
undermined.
Can actually discount like who has a which central bank. So Puan Zeti has actually done a very good job.
Yeah, she's aligned her, well, the yes. country, in fact, the country has aligned itself with China, yes. which is yes. the new big brother in town.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And you go and you can go ahead and check which country in Asia has aligned themselves and have an agreement of sorts with China's central bank.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So on that point, we got 3 minutes to go. Do we have a lagu from you today?
Tak ada lagu. David Chu sudah pergi.
He sudah pergi. He's gone. He's gone Melancong. To Japan. Yeah. Yes. So of all places, not China, Japan. So on that note, thanks for your views, Dali. We look forward to your next, the wisdom from you coming next week. That was the SNM Show, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.